We're the fourth parak of Maseilas Yesharim, and the Maseilas Yesharim is describing that which motivates people to be zahir, to be careful. And he begins by saying that the Shleimi Hadas, people on the highest level, want to be better because they know that's the right thing. They don't need any ulterior motive. It's what they seek, and they pursue a shleimus, and therefore they don't need any other motivation. Anything which takes away from their shleimus, they want to get rid of. Anything which promotes their shleimus, they want to get a hold of, and that's what drives them. The next level are people who are not quite there yet, and their motivation is kavod, that they are misayvlo. They want kavod, and they strive to have the ulterior motive, if you will, the shelo lishma, and that drives them to achieve and to do. And the same way in this life, in Olam Hazeh, people are motivated by this, so too they can use that motivation to achieve for the next world. We're up to the third madrega, the average person. And the Maseilas Yesharim writes, the ha'ara l'chol ha'hamon, that which motivates and inspires the average person, it's simply a matter of reward and punishment. When they see to what degree a person is punished for his actions, this should cause one to shudder and tremble to consider how we are judged on everything. Who can stand up on the day of judgment? Who will be found righteous before his Creator? With Hashem's oversight, every little thing, large or small, is scrutinized. A person will be told on the day of his judgment about his conversations. Afilu sicha kala shbein ish leishto, a simple conversation between husband and wife, magidnu la'od mishas adin, is repeated to him at the time of his judgment. So nothing is forgotten, nothing is lost. However insignificant it may seem to us now, it is going to be scrutinized on the day of judgment. Od amru chazal tell us even more, svivav nisar ma'od, in Hashem's surroundings, it is very stormy. The Bnei Shleilam will judge those that are especially pious by the width of a hair. The slightest infraction will be punished for the greater tzaddikim. Avraham ha'ovlko, no. Avraham Avinu, the one who is beloved to his master, Achakasav Amalav, the pasuk says, Avraham Oavi. Avram is described as the one who is beloved to Hashem. Lo palat min hadin, he didn't escape from judgment. Even for the small things that he wasn't as careful as he should have been. For instance, Asher Amar, he said, Bame Eda. The Ribbono Shel Olam promises him all kinds of things. Bris Ben Habasarim. And Avram says, Bame Eda. And how will I know? Hashem says, your children will go into Golas for that Bama Eidah. There's other explanations in the Gemara about the Bama Eidah, but one nusach in the Gemara is, one version is, that Golas Mitzrayim was partially to blame for Avram's questioning, and how will I know? That indiscretion to just say Bama Eidah had serious ramifications because it came from Avram Avinu. And then he made a covenant with Avimelech without Hashem's say-so. Your children will have seven generations delayed simcha because of this bris you made with Avimelech. It says he brought seven animals as part of the krisas bris. There's another medrash that seven tzaddikim, descendants of Avraham Avinu, will perish at the hands of Avimelech's descendants because of this bris that Avraham made with Avimelech without Rishus. The seven descendants included Eli's children, Hophni and Pinchas, who died by the Plishtim's hands. It includes Shaul, Yehoiada's son, Shaul's other two sons. So that's six, and a missing one, and Shimshon. So seven of Avraham Avinu's descendants will die by the hands of the Plishtim because he made this bris with Avimelech without Hashem's say-so. There's different midrashim that take Avraham Avinu to task. But you see, the Mishnah Torah is pointing out that you could be the biggest tzaddik of Avraham Avinu, who has Avram's Ohavi, Hashem calls him Avram Ohavi, and yet there will be consequences for his infractions, and perhaps disproportionate for other people, but for Avraham Avinu on his level, so that we say he's judged kechutas ara. Yaakov Avinu, al shachar apo b'Rachel, he was upset at Rachel Imenu. She'amalo, she said to him, havali vanim, give me sons. And he got angry at her. Amba b'medrash, the medrash says, Elishan, this is the language of the medrash. Amla kodesh baruch hu kach ones ha-me'ikos. Hashem says to Yaakov, that's how you talk to someone who's suffering? She says to him, havali banim ayin meis anochi, and he says, what do you think? Atachas olkim anochi, what, do you think I'm God to give you children? I can't give you children. And the way Rashi brings the medrash, he said, I have kids. You don't have, it's not like she said, why you daven like Avraham Avinu? Because Avraham didn't have children. I have children. And the medrash says, Hashem took Yaakov into the task. That's how you talk to a lady like that. That's how you talk to Rachel Imenu. Chayecha, the medrash continues, Shebanecha on the Fabinah, your children will have to stand before hers. They'll all come to Yosef at Tzaddik, and they're going to bow down to him and subservient themselves to Yosef. And the medrash puts this partially because Yaakov Inu said to Rachel Imenu, Hatachas al Kibarachi. And he puts Dina in a box. Even though his intent was certainly for good, but he did withhold kindness from his brother. The Medrash says, you hold back chesed from your friend, and you get punished. You didn't want to give her to marry someone who had bismillah, how he nisses the arul, she'll end up being taken by someone who does not have bismillah. Lo bikashti l'siyah be'achet, you don't want to marry her off in a permitted fashion, how he nisses derech iser, she'll be taken in a forbidden fashion. And that was the story with Dina and Shechem. Now, this, of course, does not explain Shechem's actions. This does not justify what Shechem does. But it's pointing out that from Yaakov's end of it, he also suffered because, to a degree, it was his a fault against him that he did not give Dina to Esav. Yosef, he tells the Sahamashkim, Kisachatani Yitro, remember me. The Tesla Steshonim, 2 years were added to his sentence. Rashi brings in Chumash. Yosef went ahead and embalmed his father without Hashem's instructions. Or another pshat is because his brothers called him Avdecha Avinu, our father, your servant, and he didn't stop them from saying that. Each one according to his view. He died before his brothers. Yosef was one of the younger ones. He should have died later. He died before his brothers because of whatever this chet was, either because he embalmed his father, or because he heard them say Avdecha Avinu and he didn't stop them. David HaMelech, Levishakol Divei Torah Zemiros. He calls Torah Zemiros, Zemiros Holy Chakecha. Nana, she was punished. She nichshal b'dvar Uzzah. He stumbled in the issue of Uzzah that he had the Aron brought in a wagon when it should have been carried by people. Finis Arvavo Simchaso, his Simcha was dampered. Michal, Levishachiches David. She rebuked David for dancing outside in public in front of the Aron HaKadosh. Nan Shoshloi Lavlad. She was punished not to have children, El Bamos, except when she died. Chizkiyo, Levisheherlo Sori Melech Bavelis Beis Nechocho, Mecheis Nechoso. Chizkiyo showed the officers of the king of Bavel the treasure house. Nigzal Bonav Lius Risim Behechel Melech Bavel. His children were decreed to be servants in the chamber of the king of Bavel. For Rabim Ke'elimo, these examples go on and on. Navi, Tanakh, does not hide the flaws of our great leaders and ancestors. Tanakh describes very openly the chatoim of the Avos and the Shvatim and the Melachim and so on. Tanakh does not hide these things, which makes Torah so unique and so clearly Hashem's handiwork. Because if a human being would have written a history of the Jewish people, he would have concealed all the misdeeds, all the mistakes, all the misjudgments of the leadership, which was common for every other civilization. If you want to study ancient Egypt history, if it's written by the Egyptians, they did no wrong. If it's written by someone else, they'll write about the flaws of the Egyptians. The Egyptians wrote nothing bad about themselves. Neither did the Greeks, no ancient civilization. Their own writers only wrote the best and the good and terrific and everything else. No one ever wrote about their flaws. You'd have to look at someone else's history to see the flaws of the others. Torah HaKadosh is not that way. Torah is not written by a human being. Torah is written by the Bnei Hashem. The Torah does not hide the mistakes. We're supposed to learn from it. So there are many examples. And the Ramchal is pointing out that this is supposed to motivate us to be very careful. It's supposed to inspire us to realize every little thing counts, everything makes a difference, and we should be zahir. Or Perakah Kol Chayav Omer, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Kanavi Motai Kol Havi Bochi, Rabbi Yochanan would cry when he'd come to the Pasuk, V'karavti Aleich L'Mishpot. Hashem says, I'm going to bring you close for judgment, V'yisi Eid M'maher. Eved Shesherikim of Kalas Kechamuros, when you have an Eved, a slave, whose master judges his simple crimes like serious crimes, Takana Yeshto, how is he going to ever survive judgment? Obviously, the Maimer, this statement, cannot mean that there's the same punishment for something small, something large. We know the Ibnei Shem punishes measure for measure. What it's explaining is, that the same way the judge will take into account the major serious crimes, so too the slightest and smallest are also taken into consideration. We don't say, listen, there's so many big things, let's forget about the small things. It doesn't work that way. The Baruch does not avert his eye from anything. The same way the Baruch Shalom judges the serious ones, he judges the lighter ones. El al kula meshkiach v'yefakach b'ashvo achas. The Baruch Shalom looks at everything, examines everything, scrutinizes everything equally. Everyone is judged. Every action is judged. Every statement is judged. And the punishments are meted out accordingly. For humash Shlom HaMelech Olav HaShalom Omer, that's what Shlom HaMelech says. Kes kol ma'aseh ha'olokim yav mishpat. Everything is brought to justice. Ki kasher yedek HaKadosh Baruch Hu meniach l'shkoach kol ma'aseh toiv. The same the Baruch Hu doesn't ignore any good thing you've done. Katan kamashu, no matter how small it is. No matter how small a good deed is, it's not forgotten. So too, the Ibn does not ignore even the slightest bad thing, no matter how small it is. And this is openly coming to dispel the notion that some people try to convince themselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he judges, is not going to worry about the little things. They're going to convince him, oh, he doesn't take that into calculation. It's not true. We have a rule from the Gemara. Whoever says Hashem will just tell you to forget about it, he doesn't care. So his whole essence or his insides will be forgotten as well. There's no such thing. Nothing is forgotten. Nothing is overlooked. The Yetzirah will tell you, don't worry, you could sin. Hashem will forgive you. Al tishmalo, don't listen to the Yetzirah. V'zedava poshut umavor. This is clearly obvious. Kine Hashem kel emes. Hashem is emes. V'mashamo Hashemenu v'shalom Hashemenu Torah satzur tamim palo ki kol duchav mishpat kelimona ve'ein avel. The Ibn Hashem is pure and perfect in his ways. Everything is just. Ki kimet shekadosh baruch hu wrote some mishpat hine hu kachu oivra al mishpat. If the Ibn Hashem is wants to do judge with mishpat, so he's going to go with Mishpat. He's not going to avert his eyes from Chayiv, like he's not going to avert from Zechus. He's not going to avert his eyes from sin and from mitzvahs. Al kele mishpat who votes the sashitan call ishto achav female love tachsin diktuk. When Hashem wants mishpat, He's going to go with the absolute nth degree of justice. Bein the tov, bein the mutav, whether for good or not. V'hainu, that's what it means. Kel emuna v'ein avel tzaddik v'yarshahu d'ibon Hashem is pure tzaddik. Shepirshu chazal chacham explained the tzaddik and l'rashoim, whether to the tzaddik or to the rasha. Ki kach yamid v'al kol hudon v'al kol chet hu manish v'ein limalet. This is Hashem's midah. Everything is judged. Every sin is punished. There is no escape. So the Ramchal is explaining that people who are not motivated purely for altruistic reasons, they want to be shalim, and people who are not motivated because of kinah and kavod, that they want to have a significant place in the next world, they should certainly be motivated by a dread of the Yom HaDin, because the Yom HaDin is terrifying. The Yom HaDin after 120 years is very scary. It's a very scary time for a person in his life when he leaves this world, and he's going to be judged for everything that happened in his lifetime. There's a well-known story with the Vilna Gaon's wife and another lady. They used to collect money, tzedakah money, from other people. They had their own women who have their own, you know, collections and distribute for people they knew needed. And there was a pact the two of them made between each other that whoever dies first will come back and tell the other one what's going on in Shemayim. How does it work, the judgment in Shemayim? So the Vilna Gaon's friend, his wife's friend, passed away first. And shortly after the Shiva, she appears to the wife of the Vilna Gaon and says, I'm not allowed to tell you about what's going on up here. I said I'm going to come back and tell you, so I'm here, but I really can't tell you. But one thing I'll let you know, and you'll understand from that everything else. Remember, a few weeks back, we were trying to raise some money, and we went to the house of a wealthy person, and we knocked on the door, and the wife who they would collect from wasn't home. She wasn't home, so we were walking in the street, and we saw her across the street. And you picked up your hand and pointed, oh, there she is. And then we both crossed the street together and approached her for money, and she gave a donation. You should know that in Shemayim, you're picking up your hand and pointing and saying, there she is recorded for zechus that you can't imagine. Just that. So when we talk about the diktuk of din, the exactingness of din, for good or not, even just lifting her hand and pointing, oh, there she is a zechus. And that's counted. So it's really almost unimaginable how everything we do, for good and chas v'shalom not, is taken into consideration. It's all taken into consideration. So the Ramchal now presents us with a very famous question. And this next portion of the Ramchal, the end of Perek Daled, is significant beyond learning Mesilas Yesharim, and it's very commonly discussed in the month of Elul and Aseres Mitzvah. The Ramchal asks a question, Vim Tomar, if you go ask me the following. Im Kain, based on what we've just described, of how exacting Hashem's Mishpat is, and everything is taken into account. Nothing is overlooked. Nothing is forgotten. Nothing is discounted. Everything makes a difference. Then midas haracham lamahi ometz. What does midas haracham do? Where does racham? This is straight mishpat, straight din. How does rachamim fit into the picture? Kivin shal koponim tzorich ledaktik b'din al kol dover. If Hashem has to be particular about every little thing, so where's rachamim fit in? Hateshuvah, the answer is vaday, absolutely. Midas harachmim hi kiyum shel olam. The world cannot exist without Hashem's compassion. Shlohoy oimed zulosu kol kol. Without Hashem's compassion, the world would have stopped a long time ago. Va'aval pikin, nonetheless, ein midas hadin lokei. It doesn't take away from the concept of din. V'zeh, this is the pshat. Ki lifishuris hadin mamish. If you went straight with justice, hayaroi shachote yonesh miyad tekef lecheto. What should be is, as soon as a person sins, he should be instantly punished for his sin. B'liham tana klal, without any delay. V'gam shonish atzmi yeh b'charon af, and the punishment should be done with a degree of severity and anger. K'ra'ui, as appropriate, l'mishamam b'piyah b'oris b'oshavo, for one who rebels against the creator of the world. V'shlo yeh tikun l'chad klal, there should be no way for him to mend his crime. K'nei b'ms, e'chisakin o'odim s'shor yves, because when you think about it, how can you mend the crime that he committed? V'achet kvanasa, the deed was done. The sin has been committed. So how exactly are you going to fix that anyway? If one person killed another, or one committed adultery, and Adava says, is there any way to undo what you've done? You can't undo it. Can you take away the act from the actuality of what happened? However, the Midas HaRachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows for three things that we mentioned. First of all, Midas HaDin is the sinner should get punished instantly. Midas HaRachamim is we give him some time. He's not going to be struck by a bolt of lightning the minute he sins. And the punishment is not going to be totally devastating. And thirdly, Hashem gives tshuva as a chesed to the chote. That uprooting the will to do the sin is equated to uprooting the act of the sin. But when the sinner recognizes the gravity of what he did, and he has remorse, and he admits to his crime, and he accepts responsibility, and he thinks about the evil of his actions, and he does tshuva, he has full remorse. It's total as if I never did it. I wish I never did it. The same as we say by a person who makes a vow and then later he regrets having made the vow. He totally wishes he never said the neder. He wishes with all his might that it never happened. And it causes him great pain, emotional pain, that he did this and he can't undo it. For Osev Osolahaba, and he's no way he'll ever do it again. He'll never do this thing again. Ubrechman, he'll run away from anything close to this. Hine Akiras Hadovme Ritzono. So this ability to uproot the will to sin from his essence, Yichashivlo Kakiras Haned Meskapelo, it's the equivalent of uprooting the promise or uprooting the chet, and he gets atonement. That's what the pasuk says. Your sin will be removed and will be forgiven. The sin is literally taken away from the reality. And it's uprooted because right now he is in such pain and remorseful about what he did. Now there's no question, this is chesed, that there's an ability to uproot an action based on the guilt and remorse of later on, that is chesed, no question. She'eino mishur sedin, it's not straight justice. And yet, achal kaponim, hinehu chesed she'eino machesh din lagami. It's still a chesed that doesn't deny din either. She'yesh tzad hitosbo, because there is a way for us to reconcile a certain measure of punishment. Because instead of the will that he had to do the sin, and the benefit that he got from the chet, right now he has regret and pain. And even the fact that we give him some extra time, and he's not punished immediately, that's not forgetting about the chet. It's a little patience to allow the opportunity to mend his ways. And every chesed in this context, kinyan bar mezaka ab, we talk about children making a merit for a parent, o miksas nefesh kachol nefesh, or we talk about some of the nefesh, like all of the nefesh, hamaskor medivich hacham lecham, talk about this. Darche chesed heim lekabla samuot kamarabe. It basically is a concept of, we'll take a little bit and consider it like a lot. But it has to have that little bit. Achlo misnagde machishim mamash mizdin. It doesn't totally deny din. Because we have a Pesach, we have room to consider it something. To just say averes disappear without any effort or remorse or tsar, emotional tsar on the part of the sinner. Oh, so you should Hashem just forgets about it or won't look at it. That's totally opposed to din, and that can't be. Because then there is no true justice. That can never happen. If the sinner doesn't take advantage of his means to escape, there's no question, Midas Hadin will not return empty-handed. Chazal teaches, Hashem will wait, Hashem will bide his time, and then he'll collect. Nimsa, it comes out, a person who wants to open his eyes has no way to convince himself or seduce himself, not to be careful with his actions. Tachas as a hero, the ultimate of care, will doctor him tachas adiktuk as possible and exacting as he can be for himself. There's no question if someone is concerned about his soul, he's going to oversee and scrutinize everything he does to make sure he's not doing anything wrong. So the Ramchal concludes Perek Dalet by telling us that tshuva, the whole concept of tshuva, is in fact rachamim. It's not midas adin. Midas adin does not allow for tshuva. There's no room for tshuva in the world of din. And the world couldn't survive. The world could not exist without it. That's why Hashem had to temper din with rachamim. And with tshuva, a person isn't punished immediately. Hashem allows him time to tshuva. When Hashem punishes, he doesn't punish in a total destructive way that there's no way to fix it later. And Hashem gives him the opportunity to do tshuva, to have charata, to have remorse, to feel bad about what he did. And akiras haratzon k'akiras hamaisa. You can't change the past. You can't undo what you've done. And yet, if he has true charata, when a person will view the film of his life after 120 years, that episode is missing. It's been edited out of the film. It's not there. It's totally gone. It's the ultimate time machine. We don't have a machine to go in back in time to change what we've said and what we've done. But we have tshuva. And tshuva does give us the ability to retroactively mend the mistakes of our past. It's a tremendous chesed. And Ramchal says that notwithstanding, it still has a degree of din. It's not like we forget about din because there is a process of tshuva. It's almost as if to say he's accepted his own punishment upon himself. That his own charata and his guilt is his punishment for what he's done. So Midas HaDin did collect it. If he totally ignores his sins and pays no attention to his sins and is convinced Hashem will pay attention to his sins, eventually it'll come around and Hashem will deal with him and he will be punished for everything he's done if he has not taken advantage of tshuva. So there's a question I want to address, and this is unfortunately a painful reality. And this is something that we have to accept and realize. Even with tshuva, and it's been erased, it's been scrubbed from the video of my life, it doesn't always mean that everything goes back to the way it was before. Ben Adam L'Chavero, for sure it's that way. If you were said mean, you said something cruel to cause someone pain, lo aleinu, not in you, and no one should do such a thing, and then you realize, that was terrible of me. How could I have said such a thing? And you feel terrible about it, and you go back, and you apologize, and you feel so sorry, and you're really sincere. You sincerely ask mechila. So the person's mechil you. You can't expect that person to behave with you as if it never happened. Even though they're moichel you. I'm moichel you. I forgive you. I don't want to see you again. Stay out of my life. You caused me pain. And the one who did tshuva says, well, it's not fair. I did tshuva. Yes, you did tshuva. But it doesn't change the fact that I don't want to hang around with you anymore. That doesn't change. You can't take back the words you said. So you feel bad about it, and you have remorse about it. The first time we see this is the beginning of Chumash, Ben Adam L'Makom. Adam and Chava eat from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. They're not supposed to. Don't do it. Didn't Adam do tshuva afterwards? The Gemara says for 130 years he did tshuva after the Eitz HaDaas. So you would think after of the 230 years, okay, you can go back to Gan Eden now. No, he cannot go back to Gan Eden now. He'll only go back to Gan Eden after he dies. He cannot live in Gan Eden anymore. A person who does a sin like he did cannot go back to Gan Eden. In fact, there's malachim with swords keeping him out. There's no going back. I did tshuva. He did tshuva. It'll be scrubbed from the record. Okay? Scrubbed from the record. He can't go back. He can't go back to where he came from. And sometimes you have a student in school who does something they really shouldn't have done. And they get expelled. And they did tshuva. And they really do tshuva. They really do tshuva. And they want to be accepted back to school. And the school says, no, we can't take you back. So what do you mean you can't take you back? I did tshuva. Don't you believe in tshuva? Yeah, I do believe in tshuva. Adam couldn't come back to Gan Eden. You have to go someplace else. You can't come back here. Sometimes you do something and you can't come back. I'm not saying what the case was. Maybe sometimes you can't take them back. Depends what it is, I guess. But sometimes you can't go back. Sometimes we have people in positions of authority in a community. It's a very painful topic to discuss. They could be rabbonim, they could be teachers, and they do things that are terrible. And the scandal is discovered. And they're fired. They're dismissed. And they do tshuva. They really do tshuva. We're not giving them the job back. They're not getting the job back, ever. They will never have that position again, anywhere. They'll be publicized. They cannot take a job in a classroom anymore. They have lost the trust of Klal Yisrael, essentially, to teach boys or girls, whatever the case may be. They've lost the trust of the tzibur to be a rav. It's terrible. Terrible chilul Hashem when these things happen. Unfortunately, they happen. They did tshuva afterwards. Okay, I'm very happy to tshuva. You should do tshuva. You're not getting a job back anywhere. No one's going to hire you. It's not fair. I don't know. Maybe it's not fair. Maybe it is fair. He did tshuva. If he did a real tshuva, then in Shemayim, after he leaves this world, it won't be there. But you can't change what you did. And he's not going to get his job back. There is no going back after that. So that's the reality. That's the reality. That if a person has violated the trust that was put in him, then we're not giving it back to him. You have it with butchers, restaurant owners, Nebuch, we hear these stories. Baruch Hashem, they're rare, but they happen. A person's trusted, next thing you know, he's selling not kosher chicken. So you think he's ever going to get a job again selling meats and chickens? Not happening. I hope he does tshuva. I'm assuming he does tshuva. He can spend 100 years doing tshuva. We're not giving him back his job. It's not happening. We're not going to trust him anymore. The Gemara actually talks about a butcher who was selling meat that was not properly kosher, was treif, and he was caught and he was fired, and what he has to do to get his job back. And the Gemara does have a process of how they would allow him at a later date to resume his business. But in our day and age, he's lost his trust. He's lost his trust. There's so much of it's built on trust. You can't trust him. You can't trust him. Find something else to drive a truck. Do something else for a living. We can't trust him anymore with these things. So even with tshuva, which is a gaval de ches of the Baruch Hashem, Adam HaRishon could not go back to Gan Eden. That's that. He could not go back to Gan Eden. It wasn't happening. And so too, the actions that people do, depending on the degree of what they did and the violation of trust, whatever was involved in what they did, they could do tshuva afterwards. But we're not going to trust them anymore. They just lost the trust. We can't, in good conscience, give them back that position where they may end up doing the same thing again. So, we know that. Even though they did tshuva, and we accept they did tshuva, it's fine. But we can't trust them anymore. So, there is a tremendous chesed from the Ibn Shalom that we have the ability to work on things we've done wrong and to make repairs and try to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu afterwards. But sometimes you have to take a different track. In fact, this may be what the Gemara alludes to when it says, Hashem created Olam Hazeh with a hay. And the Gemara says, the way the letter hay is shaped, there's a big hole in the bottom. Because if he wants to leave, he can. If a person wants to do chet, the door's open, he could fall right through the trap door and go straight out the bottom of the hay. And if that's his choice, it's open to go. Why is there an opening between the hanging leg of the hay and the roof of the hay? Because if he does tshuva and he wants to come back, he'll have to go up around and come in through that opening between the leg and the roof. In fact, the Gemara, why can't this go back the way he came in? There's a big hole in the bottom. That's where he went out. Then go back in. Make the hay like a ches. Why does it have to have a hole? And the Gemara says, it doesn't work that way. You can't go back the way you came in. There is no going back the way you came in. You went out the bottom. There's no going back that way. You want to come back into tshuva, you got to go up the side, climb all the way up, and come around a different way in. You can't go back in the way you went out. It doesn't work. That's the Gemara says. It could mean this idea as well, that yes, there's tshuva, and a person can get back on the right path and do the right thing, but it's not the way it was before. And one of the things that Ben Yonah writes about in Shai Tshuva is the efforts of Baal Tshuva, someone who does a chet and does tshuva for, has to work on getting close to Kadosh Baruch Hu again, to reestablish that relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he can, over time he can. With a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he can get back to where he was. But as far as we're concerned, we'll never, I don't think, it's very unlikely we'd ever entrust this person with a position if he violated that trust.